top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
I'm trying. We're trying.
Man, I could have done all that.
Yeah, you were doing a good job with that, Richard. You got a good voice on you. You can sing that next time.
I could record different versions of it, too. Like an operatic version.
Oh,
or
yeah.
How would you do that?
How would that sound?
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
We should have different versions.
Go.
I like that, right?
Yeah. You got one, Kevin? You got a version?
I don't want to embarrass myself.
No.
I'll leave it. Richard's got the pipes, yeah.
He's got it figured out.
But can you do the Orion Samuelson number counting?
Oh.
Number three.
Violetta, you got one of those?
No.
Okay.
Violetta,
no
it's on the opposite end of the spectrum from Orion.
No.
It's like Orion
no,
and then Violetta.
I wouldn't want to try to do Orion either because he's got the best set of pipes in the business. So let's start it out with...
Number five.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He's been getting grilled this afternoon. Started right about the time we started on this show. He's defending the Trump administration's foreign policy across the board on Capitol Hill today and facing some fierce questioning from both Republican and Democratic senators about North Korea, about Russia, about Iran, and much more. Here is one particularly testy exchange between Pompeo and Senator Bob Menendez, New Jersey.
Has the president told you what he and President Putin discuss in their two-hour closed-door meeting in Helsinki?
The presidents have a prerogative to choose who's in meetings or not. I'm confident you've had private one-on-one meetings in your life as well. You've chosen that setting as the most efficient way to...
I just asked you a simple question. You can't eat up my 7 minutes,
answer,
Mr.
Senator.
Secretary. Did he tell you whether or not what happened in those 2 hours?
Yes, Senator. The predicate of your question implied some notion that there was something improper about having a one-on-one meeting. I completely disagree with the premise of your question.
I didn't ask you a predicate. I asked you a simple question. I hope we're going to get through it.
Yeah, searching for details, it wasn't particularly easy today. At one point, Senator Bob Corker asked, I can't say it more forcefully, we need clear details about what happened in those behind-the-closed-doors meetings with two leaders who are definitely not America's friends. You got Putin and Kim Jong-un, one-on-one meetings. What happened? Try to describe what happened. Denuclearization, what are the steps? Have we outlined any? You know, what's happening next? And he did a good job at defending the president's positions, but there weren't a lot of details just yet, and he's still being grilled.
But he's just,
at this moment.
You know, that's a classic example there. The answer he gave was to a question that was not asked. So it was like, well,
classic.
Were you briefed on what happened? You know, the very idea that you say the two leaders cannot get together, and it's like, what?
Let's back up there to the part
where
you didn't ask.
I didn't say that. And then you get the thing where you talk all over each other.
Well, we have more here of that kind of activity.
Did he tell you what transpired in the two-hour meeting?
I had a number of conversations with President Trump about what transpired in the meeting. I was also present when he and President Putin both gave us a sense of what they discussed in the meeting that followed immediately after.
Did you have
also had the chance to speak with Sergey Lavrov twice about the Russian view on what takes place? I think I have a pretty complete understanding of what took place.
Did you speak to the translator who was at that meeting?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen any of her notes?
Senator, I have never been in lots of meetings. I've had lots of note takers and lots of translators. I've never relied on the work that they did.
Did the
for
president
me to understand
discuss,
what took place in that meeting? And it does not need to be
did
done
the president
here,
discuss
and won't be.
I think more of an example there. I'm just trying to search. We got one more clip here.
The question is, when he had a chance, did he confront Putin and say, we don't recognize your annexation of Crimea, we don't recognize your continuing hostilities in eastern Ukraine, and there's consequences for that?
Senator, the president was very clear with Vladimir Putin about U.S. positions. They're the U.S. positions that are the Trump administration's positions, and he spoke about them very firmly and clearly when he met with Vladimir Putin.
And that, he told you that?
Senator, I'm telling you what he had a conversation with Vladimir Putin about, and I'm telling you what U.S. policy is today.
All right. That's as far as they've gotten. That was one of the testier exchanges, but again, still
just,
grilling.
Can't believe you're asking me these questions.
I know, right? Such an inconvenience. Kind of have to know. There is some oversight in this world, in America, and that's a good thing. So we'll see what else comes out of those hearings as we come along. But let's move on to...
Number four.
Sean Spicer. We remember him. Ah. Spicy Spicerson. He joined the Steve Cochran Show this morning. He was on with Steve talking about his new book, The Briefing. Sean says that people just don't understand the stress that comes along with being in that kind of position that he was in.
I'm not looking for any sympathy, but I don't know that people fully appreciate, you know, how what kind of a toll it takes on you. And I was with a former kind of counterpart of mine from the other side of the aisle the other night, and she said to me, you know, I don't think people fully appreciate what it takes to stand up there. And neither of us were looking for sympathy. But, you know, I tell a story in the book. One day I come home and my house is up for sale on Zillow. You know, and no one, you can't get out there and complain about it. This is the job you signed up for. But, you know, someone had gone out and found a way to post my house up for sale.
Well, there's no way you could have known you were getting into that. I mean, you know.
No, but I agree. But I think, and like I said, I'm not looking for sympathy in this, but I think that there's an element that you don't fully understand will occur in terms of the emotional impact and intensity that takes place.
Well, I think it's intensified when day after day and briefing after briefing you say things that aren't true because you have to defend your president. And you saw the stress on him. You certainly see it with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, mm-hmm. who looks like the most miserable human being in the world right now as she does her job, because they know, and he knew, that many times what he was saying was absolutely categorically untrue. And yeah, that takes a big strain on you.
Or the president would undermine exactly what you said,
yes.
after you said it, an hour later even, would put out a tweet
exactly.
to that effect. And exactly. so the stress of trying to understand the message to begin with, trying to understand what the president wants you to say, and then not lie out there. The BBC just did an interview with Sean Spicer that's gone viral because it was so tough on him in terms of the lies that came out of the administration and the way he handled them and went kind of point by point with them. And it was a... That was a very testy exchange. I mean, he just always did not look healthy when he was toward the end.
No, and I think he did underestimate and I think Spicy and other people who have worked for Trump have not understood fully themselves how this is a different ball game. It's never an easy job, but he found that out when he made a little award show appearance and then found himself shunned at parties. Mm-hmm. I think he thought everyone was going to say, oh, you know, that's just part of the game. I'm a spin doctor. But that's not the case. The other thing I think is, too, is like, look, he's everywhere and he's entitled to promote his book. I feel like this is one of those books that's going to sell a lot of copies for about 2 weeks, but no one's actually going to read the entire book. Do you mm-hmm. want to read an entire book by Sean Spicer?
Well, I can't imagine that he really reveals a lot, right? Because he still is... kind to the president, and there were obviously moments there that we don't want to know about what happened, but I'm not sure that there's going to be tremendous honesty about that. I don't get that sense.
I just got an entire book. I'll pass.
And he apparently the New York Post has this afternoon that his one of his promotional book stops was canceled due to the quote political climate. So that's the book tour, but I don't wish any harm on Sean Spicer, honestly. I know a lot of people do, but I don't. I think I had a tough job.
I do think, like, there are a lot of former spokesmen, former press secretaries who are out there in the private sector or doing political things. There's dozens of them still around going back, you know, many, many administrations. I think for Sean Spicer and now for Sarah Huckabee Sanders, it's a different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they do after this, it's going to follow them in a big way.
And Omarosa, meanwhile, has a seven-figure book deal. Oh. So that's there's justice in the world somehow. Does that make sense? I don't know. We're going to have more of your three, your two, and your one after the break. But first, we're going to check in with Judy Pilak. Find out what's coming up bottom of the hour here on WGN.
A Wheeling man charged in a crash that killed a Hersey High School girl.
Violetta Podramatic has your traffic trouble spots.
Chicago is hosting the ultimate month-long food festival this August. Visit ctfoodbowl.com to get your seat at the table.
All right, this is The Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper is here. We're going to check in with Ro in his secret location coming up. But we're in the middle of the top 5 of 5, so checking in at...
Number 3.
Mayoral candidate Willie Wilson, friend of the show, apparently did not violate... He's been here several times,
that's
Richard,
true,
and we
right?
really, you know,
yeah.
appreciate his visits. Yeah. Did not violate election law by handing out more than $200,000 in cash and checks Sunday to people at an event he attended with Governor Bruce Rauner. It was a Southside church, and according to the state elections board, I don't know if this surprised you, he went on Fox Chicago to explain why he handed out the money.
Well, I've been doing it for the last 25, 30 some years. We do this all of the time. But all this was my money, all right? The check that we give away is my money. The governor gave $100,000. You know, we gave those checks away. Why are people worried about my money that I'm giving away? They should be worried about Ron Emanuel giving away their citizen taxpayer dollars. It's just crazy, all right? Now, unless there's a law that says that I cannot give away my own money that I worked hard for, I will continue to do so.
Yeah, and they ruled that it did not violate any campaign rules, according to the state. He can give away his own cash, as he has been doing, from his own foundation. Continue doing that.
What if that starts a trend? Because, like, look, JB has a lot of money.
A lot of money.
So he could be out there like the Monopoly guy, just like, you know, making it rain over the entire state. Hi, I'm JB Pritzker. There has been a drought in Illinois, but not when it comes to me. I'm going to make it rain.
Now vote for me. You can't say it. That's the only thing you can't link it to, potentially. I don't know. I thought that was particularly interesting because Bruce Rauner was there at the church, had given money. Then that money was distributed in front of the church and tied to, I guess, like property.
I go to the wrong churches. They always ask me for my money.
So it
with
works.
A basket, not the other way around.
We have another clip here pertaining to that.
Now, the governor said what he needs to say. Yeah, look, anybody that give me money to the foundation, if they want it back, I'll write a check and give it back. You know, Lord bless me that I don't have that to worry about.
Okay.
All right. Good for him. But the but Governor Rauner says he thought it was inappropriate to be doing something like that. So he's separating himself from that whole action.
Okay.
We have one more clip? Yeah, one more.
We should help the poor, all right? The rich is getting richer, all right? All the dollars that Ron Emanuel is getting in his campaign wall chest is from people that have bought the city from him. This is what you should really focus on. Don't bother me with my money that I work for, all right? Get on those guys, all right? So I said to all of them, look, stop criticizing me. Criticize these politicians. Make them get out and do it right. We got to rewrite the laws. We got to lock up the politician who take money from the poor and give it to the rich.
He makes some good points about Mayor Ron Emanuel. And there is a certain charm to Willie Wilson. There really is.
Self-made man. Incredible story.
Can he hand out some cheeseburgers? I'll take one of those.
Okay.
Well, he's got a McDonald's.
That's right. That's where he made his fortune. Started out there and moved on to other things.
All right,
Willie, you keep helping people.
Maybe we'll get him in for the Canarpa Wagon one week.
Wouldn't that be great?
With McDonald's. Why not?
He lives, actually, we've learned, not too far away. So we'll have him just stop over one day, kind of next door. Ask him to stop by one day be part of it. Let's move on with this.
Number two.
Checking in at number two. One winning ticket. One, can you believe it? Sold for the whopping... more than $500 million, $522 million Mega Millions jackpot with one-time cash option of $308 million.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. The winning numbers drawn Tuesday night. Well, they already know who they are. 1, 2, 4, 19, and 29 with the Mega Ball number 20. You didn't have them. The ticket for the fifth largest jackpot in Mega Millions history.
Wow.
Well, it was purchased in California. That's how we know you didn't have them. At Ernie's Liquor, where a crowd of well-wishers gathered after the announcement. Owner Kawal Sachdev gave an interview, and he talked about how he learned his store sold the winning ticket.
One of my employees, he called me when I was at home. And I was actually taking a nap, and when he called, I woke up, and then he said, congratulations. And I said, about what? And he goes, our store sold the winning lottery ticket. And I jumped from there and came right over here.
How about that?
See, and I love this. This is a Kawal Sachdev. His name of his liquor store is Ernie's. And for some reason, that is a popular liquor store. You know how there's Ray's? There's a million Ray's pizzas in New York. There's always a lot of Ernie's liquors. I don't know why, but kudos to Kawal. He said, you know what? I own not Kawal's liquors. He's went with Ernie.
Ernie's easier to pronounce.
I guess.
And so he gets a little piece, a little something from that jackpot.
Absolutely.
So he's happy for a number of reasons. And one more thing here. Chris Martinez was at the store and says he was going to buy a Mega Millions ticket, but didn't.
I should have bought the Mega, and I was going to, and I didn't. That could have been me. It could have been me.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, unless there's like video of the winner, like, you know, and Chris saying, go ahead of me and buy the ticket. You know, you weren't going to get that ticket, Chris. Don't feel like that couldn't have been you. It wasn't going to be you.
Or do we also know if it was someone chose those numbers or if it was, you know, the random?
Exactly.
So a lot of factors.
Don't beat
there,
yourself
my friend.
Up
it's
there,
not
Chris.
Just, you were close, but not that close. All right, checking in at
number one.
Speaker of the House Paul Ryan posted a video to Twitter last night strictly for a few laughs using the popular and widespread reading mean tweets out loud concept pioneered by Jimmy Kimmel.
Paul Ryan could be a live-action Disney villain. #widowspeak. They used to call me Eddie Munster, so it's not too much of a stretch. Paul Ryan is proof that you don't need a spine to do P90X. Woodchucks eating Paul Ryan's car has given me hope for the future. My car dealer as well. I want to high-five Paul Ryan's face with a shovel. Just hard enough to make him see birdies. Hate that smug look. Paul Ryan's the kind of guy who crashes your kegger, drinks all your beer, and then calls the cops to make his noise come.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Give him credit for the self-deprecation. All right, let's wrap this up.
The top five at five.